content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Hugh Bennett from North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from Triangle Business Journal. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties, with its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina. Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. Our cover story this week, Bubba Rawl and Tim Smith have devoted decades to building transformational Triangle community projects, most notably in Cary and Chatham Park, and they don't plan to stop anytime soon. They are the TBJ's Business Persons of the Year. Before the cover story, we'll go to the Biz section. Biz is written and compiled by managing editor Dane Huffman. His main story in Biz is Revived Rialto Finds Formula for Success. The historic Raleigh Theater roars back to life with holiday music and movies. An iconic Raleigh Theater that was on the brink of being lost after the pandemic has roared back in recent years, helped in part by a steady stream of holiday offerings. The theater had a long and successful run under Bill Peebles, but Peebles, who was ready to retire and facing changing market conditions, closed the Rialto in 2022. Hayes Permar led a group of local investors called Five Points Entertainment LLC that purchased the Rialto in 2023. Permar has brought back live music, including a lively Christmas show with the Embers on December 23rd, and mixed in film favorites. December is a prime time for the holiday classics. It's a Wonderful Life, Elf, and Home Alone are among the favorites being screened. Permar relies on the charm of the venue. It opened as a theater in 1942. And the experience of watching films with others is the reasons to come. A lot of the time, you're showing movies people could see for free somewhere else, he said. But part of the joy is watching familiar films with others and the communal laugh that comes with beloved scenes from films such as Home Alone. Watching the movie itself, you realize how much more you enjoy a comedy when you're in a room with other people laughing than being by yourself, Permar said. The theater seats 450 people, a number that made sense in the pre-internet era, but a challenge to fill today. But Permar said the Christmas films often bring in 200 guests or more. At about 150 to 200, the room starts to feel full, he said. Permar and his investors took a leap of faith to buy the business. The building is separately owned. Permar praised the help of Jade Rader, a product of Broughton High School and UNC Chapel Hill, who earned an MBA at Harvard University, for her sense of organization. Pittsboro Brewery closing up shop amid challenges. Another brewery in the Triangle is going out of business, joining a handful of craft beer companies to end operations in 2025. Havoc Brewing Company in downtown Pittsboro will pour its last pint on December 13th, the brewery announced on social media. The brewery also operated a coffee shop in its space at 39 West Street. Havoc filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy reorganization in April. Among other challenges was Havoc's $1.46 million Small Business Administration loan. Triangle schools see MBA rankings drop in one list. Apparently, poets and financial professionals aren't as keen as they once were on the Triangle's mighty MBA programs. Each year, the Poets and Quants publication ranks its top 100 MBA programs, and whoever ranked the Triangle from P&Q must have struggled to find a parking spot on Chapel Hill and run into a boisterous Duke University student. Duke's MBA program and its Fuqua School of Business came in at number 15, down from its number 10 ranking last year. UNC's Keenan Flagler Business School ranked number 21 this year, down three spots from its rank a year ago. Jewelers Mutual strikes deal with NC State Athletics. A Wisconsin jewelry group that's looking to move into the Triangle in a big way has struck a marketing deal with the athletics department at NC State University. Jewelers Mutual Group will be an official jewelry insurance sponsor in a deal that includes all the Wolfpack's major sports. For example, the company will have an LED ribbon board presence at Carter Finley Stadium, on-field branding and other prominent displays in suites and in the concourses. Fans at Wolfpack basketball games and other prime sports will see a similar presence. The announcement comes after Jewelers Mutual snagged a full floor in Kane Realty's new One North Hills Tower. Our collaboration with NC State Athletics represents more than brand visibility. It's about connection, said Mike Alexander, president at Jewelers Mutual. The company said the goal is to raise its profile, open the door to community initiatives, and engage with fans over the four-year term. And finally, NC among top three inbound states per study. North Carolina is still attracting people outside of the state at a rapid clip, according to a study from moving company Atlas Van Lines. In its 2025 migration pattern study, Atlas Van Lines found that more than half of the moves in North Carolina recorded by Atlas and its agents between November 1, 2024 and October 31, 2025 were inbound. In fact, the Tar Heel State was the third most inbound state in the U.S. in the Atlas data, thanks to its stable job market and attractive metro areas. In a bit of a shock, Arkansas and Idaho were the only states ahead of North Carolina. Here's a story on the ongoing transportation debate. Toll road debate heats up across North Carolina. This article by Lauren Onosorge. As Complete 540 races towards its finish line, debate over new toll roads in North Carolina is spreading from the mountains to the coast, driven by soaring construction costs and an insatiable demand for highway infrastructure in a state where the population growth rate is among the highest in the country. In the Triangle, the only tolled facility is in the Triangle Expressway around Raleigh. The Complete 540 project will close the loop by extending Highway 540 from the NC 55 bypass in Apex to Interstate 87 in Knightdale. Alan Shapiro, chief engineer with the North Carolina Turnpike Authority, said the final phase is in full construction mode. If all goes smoothly, traffic will be flowing on the final stretch by the end of 2028. But more highway construction is in the pipeline, setting up a debate between those who see tolls as a way to move projects ahead faster and those who say they're an unfair tax on drivers. There's just not enough money, said J.J. Eden, director of the Turnpike Authority. North Carolina is growing so fast. The Turnpike Authority, a 32-person team within the State Department of Transportation, doesn't make decisions on toll roads. Instead, it responds to requests from local communities. The final decision is made by the General Assembly. Once a toll road is approved, the Turnpike Authority is tasked with building and operating it. One of the roads being evaluated for tolls recently was Capitol Boulevard, which is US 1 in Raleigh. The latest draft of the state's 10-year transportation spending plan estimated the cost at more than $1.3 billion, nearly double the 2023 estimate. Earlier this year, the Turnpike Authority presented options for tolls to the Capital Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, that's CAMPO, but the plan didn't prove popular with everyone. Representative Mike Sheetselt, who is a Republican from Wake Forest, said he consistently heard from constituents that while they were desperate for improvements on Capitol Boulevard, they weren't that desperate. Capitol Boulevard has been here for 110 years, and people have built their lives around that, he said. They built businesses, they built homes, they built entire neighborhoods. We can't suddenly slap a user fee on their road unless we're going to do something dramatic like get rid of the gas tax. Last month, CAMPO's executive board voted to remove the toll designation from the project. Jay Bieber, executive director of policy at the National Motorist Association, said tolls should be a last resort. We believe that it is much cheaper to fund your roads through, say, a gas tax, he said. Joe Malazzo, executive director of the Regional Transportation Alliance, said tolling is rarely the first choice, but it can allow projects to quickly get ahead of inflation. He points to Complete 540 as an example of tolling providing dedicated revenue and an accelerated timeline. However, if tolling an existing road were under construction, in consideration in the future, while the same benefits would apply, my sense is that there would need to be broad support and consensus that current or new alternative corridors are viable and reasonable. That was not the case for the plans discussed for US 1, he said. We'll turn now to our cover story this week, and as time permits, we'll come back and read some of the reporter pages. Business persons of the year Tim Smith and Bubba Rawl have spent their careers building amenity-rich developments that have helped boost the Triangle's reputation as a magnet for business owners, families, and talent. The Groundbreakers, Business Persons of the Year. And the article is written by Ben Tobin. Before a room of potential investors and clients in October, Tim Smith, one of the leaders behind Chatham Park in Pittsburgh, noted that Cary had just 4,200 residents when he graduated from NC State University in 1971. Today, its population tops 187,000. And what happened in Cary, he said, is going to happen in Pittsburgh. Speaking to the investors, Smith recalled a meeting with Pittsburgh stakeholders years before. "We came over here and told the Pittsburgh people, your town is going to do what Cary did. In 50 years, you'll have 190,000 people," Smith said, "and they looked at us like we were crazy. Well, in the last 5 years, we added 3,000 people to the population here, and in another year and a half, Chatham Park will surpass the population of Pittsburgh outside of Chatham Park." This confidence, patience, and conviction defined Smith, an engineer-turned-developer whose father founded a grocery store chain that would later become Food Lion. They also characterized his business partner of 42 years, Julian Bubba Rawl, a Greenville native who owned a sportswear business he sold to Nike in 1981 before making real estate investments. But above all, the two co-founders of Preston Development Company share one trait present throughout their careers: vision and nearly two decades of quietly assembling land and planning for growth others couldn't yet see. Their vision is now reshaping the economic trajectory of Chatham County and the Triangle. And that combination of vision and vigor is why Triangle Business Journal has named them the 2025 Business Persons of the Year. The two looked at thousands of vacant acres in then-sleepy Pittsburgh and bet early on its potential. Although Smith and Rawl bought their first tract of land in Pittsburgh back in 2006, 2025 is the year their long bet finally came into full view. Disney broke ground on Asteria, the new Chatham Park YMCA became one of the fastest growing in the country, and several long-planned sections of the 8,500-acre community began moving from paper to reality. But even as Chatham Park accelerates at a pace the two long predicted, the years ahead may bring their toughest tests yet. The largest and most controversial phase of the project, the nearly 4,900-acre South Village, faces intense public scrutiny, infrastructure demands, and a fractured Pittsburgh governing body. The development's sheer scale, coupled with pressure from residents wary of rapid growth, means the work at Chatham Park may just be getting started. Those challenges underscore just how far Smith and Rawl have already come and how long they've been betting big on the Triangle's next growth frontiers. In the early 1990s, the pair planted their flag in Cary shortly before it exploded with projects such as McGregor West and Preston Wood Country Club, the latter of which cemented Preston Development's relationship with SAS co-founder Jim Goodnight, who has provided financial backing to the company's real estate ventures. In 2002, they extended their reach to the coast when they purchased Landfall, a 2,200-acre development in Wilmington and a longstanding prestigious community. And in 2006, they began their opus in Chatham Park, the master planned community with over 140 tracts that will cover 8,500 acres and include more than 27,000 residential units, with 75,000 projected residents. Today, only a small fraction of those housing units have been built. The project kicked into high gear this year when Asteria, only the second Disney residential community in the nation, broke ground on its 1,500-acre, 4,000-home site. "With any project we do, we want it to be something that will stand the test of time," Rawl said. Smith, who's 76, and Rawl, who's 73, are so synonymous with Chatham County that developers often bring them up unprompted when talking about the region's growth. Chris Ehrenfeld, owner of the Bold Companies and a longtime Chatham County developer, said that Chatham Park is going to be an unbelievable asset that will create tons of opportunity for the county. Smith and Rawl pride themselves on the relationships they've built over the years, never forgetting who helped them along the way. That includes Philip Matthews, Vice President of Land Investments and Sales for APG Companies, whose original phone call with DMB Development of Scottsdale, Arizona, kicked off the chain of events that connected Disney with Chatham Park. When the project broke ground in May, Matthew said the pair called him to invite him on a tour of the land for the still-secretive community. "I can't say how good of people they've been to me in keeping me abreast," he said. "They don't have to do that with me, but they do." In the 1990s and early 2000s, Wake County towns were Smith's and Rawl's bread and butter. Cary, Apex, Fuquay Varina, Knightdale, Morrisville, and Holly Springs have all had Preston development projects, but the land started to get expensive. "Back when we started, you could buy land for $10,000 an acre," Smith said. while driving with Rawl from their office to Cary in Pittsburgh, a commute they make several times each week. 20 years ago, it got up to $200,000 per acre. So the two looked west of Wake County toward Chatham County, where they could buy land for around $30,000 per acre. They were introduced to a roughly 1,800-acre tract in the county and purchased it in 2006. They kept gradually adding tracts in the following years. But there were some initial upfront challenges. For decades, both Chatham County and Pittsburgh had been constrained by decaying sewer infrastructure, something that is only now being addressed through a merger with Sanford, which Rawl and Smith pushed. "We developed our own sewer plant," Rawl says. "If we hadn't, there wouldn't have been a Chatham Park. The town of Pittsburgh had a sewer moratorium when we got here, and we sort of had enough foresight to say, this is not going to be the easiest thing we've ever done, but we're going to solve for all of these utility issues." Additionally, many local residents weren't pleased about a massive development coming to their small town. Some still remain skeptical. "I would say that when you come into a town of 4,500 and tell them that you're getting ready to bring 75,000 of your closest friends, you're not going to get everybody in a group hug," Smith said. And although he anticipates growth on par with Cary, Smith consistently emphasizes that Pittsburgh will not become another Cary, a comparison many residents fear. "The reputation of Cary is that everything is bland," Smith said. "All the signs are kind of beige or white. Everything kind of looks the same. We came over here with the idea to put some contemporary flair in everything. Our signage has colors in it. We're trying to differentiate Chatham Park from Cary." Smith and Rawl both love routines in their personal lives. Every morning, Smith gets an iced tea and a muffin from Panera Bread. Rawl goes to the gym after work 3 days a week at least, after which he eats chicken he purchased over the week from a nearby alpaca over salad. Those routines carry over into their professional lives, where they see themselves as facilitators. "We're like the band director," Smith said. "We go to the best people to play the best instruments, put them in their seats, and say, play. The two certainly have a lot of musicians to manage." On a busy mid-October day, Smith and Rawl were in nonstop meetings from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., bouncing from bankers to real estate developers to engineers. The last group includes a dedicated team from engineering firm Withers Ravenel, which has a 2,000-square-foot office right next to Preston Development's 6,000-square-foot office in Chatham Park, and a group from engineering firm McKim & Creed. In leading their entities that have seen average annual revenue of more than $50 million in each of the last 10 years, each has his own strengths. "I'm the map guy," Smith said. In Smith's office and Preston Development's buildings in Cary and Pittsburgh, there are maps everywhere, showing granular details of current and future land use plans for Chatham Park. "Bubba," Smith added, "is the thinker." He sees things as they're supposed to work," Rawl said. "I see things as I want them to be." When the technician and the idealist put their heads together, that's where the magic happens. Look no further than the colorful Chatham Park YMCA located in the new Novi neighborhood. The 36,000-square-foot facility is more than $30 million investment. It's a point of pride for Smith and Rawl, who say it's the fastest-growing YMCA in the United States. The center opened in March with 2,000 members and had around 6,000 members as of late October, Smith said. "It's the only Y designed with COVID ideas in mind," he said with a smile. "We have an airnasium, which is a roofed open-air gymnasium. All the rooms open up to the outside. This is a very, very, very modern and very, very unique, and it was needed in Pittsburgh." Smith serves as a trustee for the YMCA of the Triangle, and he and Rawl previously gave land and built outdoor pools at the Taylor Family YMCA in Cary, the Carr Family YMCA in Wakefield, and the YMCA at Knightdale Station in Knightdale. Bruce Hamm, who's the YMCA of the Triangle CEO and president, said, "What's so wonderful about Tim and Bubba is that they have challenged and enabled our Y to exceed our own expectations. It's no exaggeration to say that they made it possible for the YMCA of the Triangle to keep pace with the growth in Chatham Park and the growth in the Triangle." As the Chatham Park concept enters year 20, Rawl and Smith may be the busiest they've ever been. The Asteria Disney community is in full swing, with home sales set to begin in 2027. The pair are tight-lipped about what other features the community may include. I can't speak too much about Disney because they got us under a clamp, Smith said. Perhaps overshadowed by all the fanfare surrounding Asteria is Chatham Park's South Village, which spans roughly 4,843 acres and encompasses 16 of the 27 sections established in the Chatham Park Master Plan. South Village, like earlier phases of the project, came with fierce public backlash. The Pittsburgh Board of Commissioners voted 3-2 in November to approve a, quote, small area plan, unquote, for the South Village, allowing Smith and Rawl to move forward with development. That came after the Pittsburgh Planning Board unanimously recommended denial, calling the plan incomplete. The South Village is projected to add more than 15,000 housing units to Chatham Park, including about 9,100 single-family homes and townhomes and 4,200 apartments. It's also expected to include 485,000 square feet of retail, 115,000 square feet of medical space, and hotels and office buildings, according to the plan submitted to the town. After decades of shepherding projects through town councils and boards of commissioners, Rawl said that at one point they had projects across 14 different municipalities. The repair remains unflinching in the face of pushback. Our rule from day one is that we don't fight back, Rawl said. We let them punch themselves out, and we just keep on going. If they throw a dart and we throw a dart back, then it becomes a spear, and then it becomes a bazooka, and now you're at war with the opposition. The duo says their main hobby is sharing ideas from other developments nationwide, and these septuagenarians aren't even close to considering retirement. An inspiration for Smith is Robert Simon, the entrepreneur who founded the renowned Master Plan community of Reston, Virginia, and worked in various capacities until he died in 2015 at age 101. My goal is to keep going until I'm 110, Smith said. We will hopefully hand Chatham Park off to somebody at some point, but I'm going to keep working. I am never going to stop. We've got time today for some of the reporter pages. We'll start with technology and finance. This one's written by Lauren Onosorge. Valencell vets form new startup. A group of former leaders from Raleigh's once buzzy wearables firm, Valencell, has quietly launched a new venture using fingertip scans and AI to personalize diets. Stephen LaBeouf, formerly of Raleigh's Valencell, has a new company, a new mission, and if all goes well with the planned product launch, a new way to put the triangle on the map. Valencell was acquired last year, though the buyer was never disclosed, and LaBeouf declined to provide details. But the team wasn't finished. Some ex-Valencell leaders regrouped in mid-2025 to form Quellios. Valencell was founded in 2006, before iPhones and Fitbits. The hardware for the wearable technology is envisioned didn't exist. What seemed like an impossibility when we were fundraising for Valencell is now a reality, LaBeouf said. We don't have to invent everything from scratch. Quellios aims to answer the question, how is the food you eat impacting your body? Users take a cell phone photo of their meal, which AI then identifies in order to estimate digestion time. Next, users upload a video of their fingertip to capture readings as their heart beats, helping to map in real time how inflammation affects the body. We extract from that video inflammatory biomarkers, LaBeouf said. Once we know the food you've snapped and how you've responded to that food, we connect the dots. The app can build a diet tailored to the user, predicting inflammation-triggering foods and tracking how the body reacts to certain ingredients. Initially, Quellios plans a subscription model targeting health-conscious consumers and those with inflammatory or digestive conditions. Down the line, the company may pursue business partnerships and even develop its own wearable device, LaBeouf said. For now, it's signing up users for its wait list. Couple sentenced to prison for $15 million PPP fraud. The couple at the center of a multimillion-dollar scheme involving the Paycheck Protection Program has been sentenced to years in federal prison. Edward Whitaker and his wife, Shunda Coleman, were sentenced December 4th in U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of North Carolina to 10 years and 7 years, respectively, for organizing what prosecutors called a nationwide COVID-19 fraud scheme. Whitaker and Coleman were also ordered to pay more than $10 million in restitution. The pair previously pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit money laundering. U.S. Attorney Ellis Boyle called their crime disgraceful. Raleigh startup PsychoLabs scores $10 million investment. Raleigh software company PsychoLabs, which specializes in supply chain test automation, has raised $9.7 million in a round led by First Analysis of Chicago. The deal, which took more than a year to close, was aided by Triangle Venture Capital firms. If we hit our targets, we won't have to raise capital again, said PsychoLabs founder Josh Owen. He credits existing Triangle backers such as Jurassic Capital and Co-Founders Capital with helping him connect with investors. He said Jurassic's Kevin Mosley introduced him to First Analysis more than a year ago. First Analysis is a longtime industry player, having invested more than $880 million over four decades. Mosley cited its incredible reputation in his decision to make the introduction, one of several he made to Owen. Jurassic Capital was PsychoLabs' first outside backer when it invested in the Series A round 3 years ago, and once it had traction, Mosley started making calls. First Horizon promotes Warwick in Triangle. First Horizon has named Todd Warwick as its new Triangle market president, succeeding Laura Bunn. Warwick, currently executive vice president and corporate and commercial market leader, will continue to lead corporate and commercial banking and community engagement efforts across the region, the bank announced. The move has been in the works since Bunn's promotion to regional president for the Mid-Atlantic. Even with the promotion, she had continued as Triangle market president. But Bunn said she quickly realized the unique opportunity the bank had in Warwick, who has been leading the Triangle Foundation for First Horizon and many of its community engagement efforts. Warwick was an easy pick given his leadership role already with the bank and the work he was doing in the community, Bunn said. Warwick, a 30-year banker, is a Smithfield veteran and Campbell University graduate who was recruited out of college by Central Carolina Bank. He eventually moved to Capital Bank, which in 2017 was acquired by First Horizon. Bunn and Warwick began working together in 2019. She said she quickly came to appreciate the colleague she describes as a great relationship manager. Kaylee Thompson brings us the real estate and development section. Her main story this week, Avalon Bay buys Briar Creek Townhomes. A Virginia real estate investor and developer has added to its growing Triangle portfolio with a mega purchase. Avalon Bay acquired a townhome community off Lumley Road in Briar Creek for $36.5 million, according to Durham County deed records. The community has 93 rental townhomes located on Terrier Place and Spaniel Drive. It was built by Quinn Residences based in Atlanta in 2020. The sale price comes to about $392,500 per unit. The property is near a 400-unit apartment and townhome project that Avalon Bay is building on the north side of Lumley Road. The eventual intent would be to operate these as one community, allowing for the residents of these stabilized homes, which currently don't have amenities, to utilize our amenities of the broader community. So it's all part of one community vision, said Stuart Royer, Senior Vice President of Investment for Avalon Bay. The purchase was an off-market transaction. Avalon Bay first approached Quinn Residences with the offer in May. Boyer said the townhomes were 95% occupied at the time of the sale, and the Quinn Residences maintain the property well. Avalon Bay will be converting 16 townhomes from three bedrooms with the flex room to four bedrooms after seeing that renters were using the extra room as a bedroom rather than an office or den. The conversion will happen as leases turn over. The work mainly involves adding a walk-in closet to the bonus room. The townhome community has been renamed Avalon Townhome Collection Briar Creek. Rental rates start at $2,747 for the three-story units. The townhomes are three and four bedrooms. Briar Creek continues to grow, as evidenced by Briar Creek Town Center developer American Asset Corp., looking to add more apartments, retail, and hotel rooms. A former Applebee's will soon open as Cabo Mexican Cuisine Restaurant. The Oak Room Pool Bar opened earlier this year. New Apex Apartments seeking residents. An apartment building with nearly 25,000 square feet of amenities recently opened in Apex, but leasing has been slow amid an oversupply of multifamily housing. The Halley Companies of Maryland opened the villages at Depot in the Depot 499 development in Apex at the end of October. Chief Operating Officer Eric Rifkin said it's the first apartment building wrapping a parking deck in Apex, and it has the most amenities the company has ever put into an apartment project. Leasing is at about only 6% so far. Raleigh plans pivot to hotel and restaurant space. The Raleigh City Council approved on December 2nd an application to amend the zoning for the Briar Creek Town Center plan development. The zoning amendment applies to 37 acres that includes the Weston Hotel and the Keaton Apartments. Charlotte's American Asset Corp. sought to remove the entitlement for office space because of the lack of demand for office. The redistribution now allows for 360 residential units, a 250-room hotel, up to 186,720 square feet of non-residential space, and up to 50,000 square feet of retail and or industrial space. An office building has been sold in foreclosure in Raleigh. An office building once considered an outperformer has been sold in a foreclosure auction. The five-story building at 2610 Wycliffe Road was sold in a public auction for $16 million to RGA Reinsurance Company of Missouri, according to Wake County deed records. The previous owner, New York investment firm Alvarez & Marsal, had defaulted on its loan from RGA. Alvarez & Marsal bought the building in 2019 for $28.5 million. The 174,014-square-foot building sits on 5.99 acres near the Lake Boone Trail Shopping Center and is assessed at $30.8 million. In 2024, it made a national list for having high rent growth between 2022 and 2023. At the time, the building was 80% leased. Since then, Gregory Poole Equipment Company has signed a 16,000-square-foot lease at the building. On the coast is Dane Huffman's reporter page about happenings, well, on the coast. Luxury home sales surge in Brunswick County. North Carolina's fastest-growing county has seen a surge in sales for high-end homes this season, although prices overall have been relatively stable. In 2024, Brunswick County, located just south of Wilmington, had 335 homes sell for more than $1 million. So far this year, that number has jumped to 390 homes, according to figures for Brunswick County from the Brunswick County Association of Realtors. But the real change comes in homes at the luxury end of the market. In 2024, Brunswick had 10 homes sell for more than $3 million. This year, the county has already seen 22 homes sell above that price point, with the highest price being $6.4 million for a home in Ocean Isle. That's a pretty big jump, said Cynthia Walsh, CEO of the BCAR. But Walsh noted that the price of homes in the county is relatively stable despite its rapid growth. Brunswick has seen an influx of young families, especially around Leland, who often work in nearby Wilmington and want more affordable housing. That influx has combined with the surging number of retirees to transform the county. But overall, prices remain roughly the same. I see no change from last year, Walsh said. For example, the BCAR recently published details of October home sales compared to last year. The overall sales for Brunswick County rose from 514 sold in October 2024 to 520 in the recent October. New listings climbed from 666 in October 2024 to 703 in the most recent October. October 2025 is almost a carbon copy of October 2024, which is not a bad thing, Walsh said. The average sales price for October was $477,574, which is slightly down from $481,922 the previous October. And the median price was up slightly from $359,950 to $365,500. NC leaders seek support for at-risk homes. Two North Carolina leaders are asking Congress for support from the National Flood Insurance Program after homes on the Outer Banks have washed away. When these homes collapse, they're not just a tragedy for the homeowner, Governor Josh Stein and Insurance Commissioner Mike Causey wrote House leaders recently. They noted that the debris spreads for miles and leads to beach closures, with taxpayer dollars then used to clean up the aftermath. According to WHRO, the program only covers damage after it happens. Stein and Causey want to allow federal insurance to cover relocating or demolishing condemned coastal structures. In Craven County, New Bern luxury apartments sold for close to $60 million. A new luxury apartment building in New Bern has sold for tens of millions of dollars. Mirror Lake New Bern, an LLC that shares an address with Greensboro's Hawthorne Residential Partners, purchased a 252-unit luxury apartment community in New Bern for $59 million recently, according to Craven County deed records. The apartment community, called Hawthorne at New Bern, is spread across nine buildings on 16 acres at 4115 Dr. Martin Luther King Boulevard. The apartment complex was built by Cape Fear Development of Wilmington, which bought the vacant land in 2022 for $2.5 million. Apartments in the community include one-, two-, and three-bedroom options, with square feet ranging from 731 to 1,360, and monthly rent from 1,390 to 1,730, depending on size, according to Apartments.com. The apartment complex is across the street from New Bern High School. Scream 7 is among the film projects NC lost recently. Next year, when Neve Campbell returns to the screen for Scream 7, she won't be running from Ghostface in Wilmington. Despite the 2022 Scream reboot being shot in Wilmington, producers passed over North Carolina for Scream 7, following incentives to Georgia instead. A 2023 Scream 6 was shot in Montreal. The North Carolina Film Commission has released a list of recent projects that considered filming in North Carolina before deciding to shoot elsewhere. Of the eight projects documented as considering the state, competitive incentives were a major driver. The projects rejecting North Carolina for what's described as incentives, quote, slash costs, include horror films I Know What You Did Last Summer 2 and Scream 7. The original I Know What You Did Last Summer was released in 1997 and set in Southport, where most of the filming took place. But while the 2025 reboot was also set in North Carolina town, it was shot in Australia. The largest incentive for a recent project in North Carolina was for season 2 of Beast Games, which was approved for up to $15 million to film in and around Pitt and New Hanover counties. But there's nothing in the lineup to be shot in Wilmington in 2026, according to Johnny Griffin, the director of the Wilmington Regional Film Commission. Kate Tracy brings us the what's what on real estate and development. Plans for a new Costco in Wake Forest are stalled. A developer's plan to bring Costco wholesale to Wake Forest has been withdrawn, casting doubt on when or if the retail giant will open a fifth location in the Triangle. Jennifer Curran, planning director for the town of Wake Forest, said in an email that the Costco project is considered withdrawn and would require a new application. That's because the rezoning applicant did not resubmit its application within 6 months of receiving comments from town staff, something the town requires for projects to keep moving forward, Curran said. The proposed Costco site is 400 Lowe's Avenue near the US 1 and Highway 98 interchange, adjacent to Lowe's Home Improvement and near the Grove 98 development. Previous plans indicated that the building would be 152,000 square feet and come with 870 parking spaces and a gas station. Raleigh-based real estate firm Alliance Group NC held a community meeting in September 2024 to inform property owners in the area about plans to build a Costco on the site. AGNC then submitted a planned unit development, dubbed Grovedale, in October of last year. The PUD is still active on Wake Forest development map and shows 36.76 acres of total development area and 33.34 acres of open space, but it does not show any details on Costco. Jacob Anderson, owner and broker in charge of AGNC, did not return requests for comment. AGNC's other Wake Forest projects include Grove 98 and a planned food hall at the former S&W Chevrolet dealership that has yet to open. Rolls Capital LLC, managed by Wake Forest residents John and Priscilla Rolls, is the property owner of the proposed Costco site. Costco has locations in Raleigh, Apex, Durham, and Garner. Costco, headquartered in Issaquah, Washington, declined to share information on plans for a Wake Forest location. Washington Duke Inn gets a refresh. The Washington Duke Inn and Golf Club is wrapping up extensive renovations that are years in the making. Daniel Lotz, new general manager of Duke University's hotel portfolio, said the renovation spanned the lobby, the inn's two restaurants, conference center, bar, outdoor terraces, and specialty suites. We keep using the word transformative because it really is that, Lott said. It's still very traditional, and we're still the Washington Duke and the style of the Washington Duke, but it's really a nice refresh to what traditional luxury looks like these days. Built in 1988, the hotel has 271 rooms. It is named after Washington Duke, who founded a tobacco operation that later became the American Tobacco Company and was instrumental in bringing Trinity College to Durham. A law firm doubles office space near Crabtree Mall. A law firm has doubled its Raleigh office space after a months-long build-out. Phelps Dunbar LLP, a regional firm, moved into its new office last month at Highwoods Properties Glen Lake Office Park near Crabtree Valley Mall. The 15,983-square-foot space is on the sixth floor of Glen Lake 3 at 4300 Edwards Mill Road. Its previous office was in the neighboring Glen Lake 4 building. This new space has enabled us to come together again, and we've got room for growth, said Jonathan Hall, Raleigh office managing partner. And finally, brewery closes two locations in less than a month. Vicious Fishes Brewery has closed its second tap room in a matter of weeks. The brewery has closed its Apex location at 2237 Old US 1. Last month, it closed its location at Fuquay Marina. As many of you know, this location is pledged to a development group. We always knew we'd eventually leave the site, but we didn't expect it to be so soon, the brewery said in a social media post about the Apex location. Vicious Fishes has remaining locations in Cary and Anger. The brewery opened its Apex location 7 years ago. Ben Tobin reports on the Greater Triangle area. In Lee County, Sanford continues hunt for next retail win. Kohl's, Cabela's, Trader Joe's. These are all retailers that members of the Sanford Rotary Club told Triangle Business Journal they'd like to see come to Lee County. But despite a population that's racing toward 70,000, the county has not seen as much retail momentum as other counties surrounding the core of the Research Triangle. But Target does have plans for Sanford, and residents are hopeful for more big-name retailers. Here are three potential hotspots. River Birch Corner. River Birch Corner Shopping Center has been blighted in recent decades. Now a real estate developer based in Ohio is looking to return the retail center to its former glory. Casto purchased a 35-acre shopping center in 2022 for $10 million. This year, the retail focus group came forward with a $64 million plan to open a Target store and new-to-market regional grocery store. This would be Lee County's first Target store. In September, the Sanford City Council approved $4.4 million worth of incentives for Casto. Adams Village. Mixed-use developments looking to bring hundreds of homes and stimulating retail demand could also deliver for retail. Adams Village, led by local developer Ray Covington, is one of those projects. In June, a representative of Realty Link, a South Carolina firm, submitted plans to the Sanford-Lee County Broadway Technical Review Committee to build 200,000 square feet of retail with a fuel center and four outparcels as part of Adams Village. Typically, fuel centers as part of Big Box Store indicate that a Costco, Sam's Club, or BJ's Wholesale Club could be on the way. Galvin's Ridge. In February, Doug Watson submitted an application to the Sanford-Lee County Broadway Technical Review Committee requesting a commercial zoning for a 14-acre parcel for the Galvin's Ridge Master Plan Overlay. Watson owns the land. Initial plans call for a grocery store, multiple sit-down restaurants and fast food restaurants, a gas station, a hotel, and retail shops. In Wilson County, Sunoco grabs a Wilson property. Gas station and convenience chains are increasingly bullish on North Carolina as a fuel giant based in Dallas just paid more than $17 million for a property in Wilson County. Sunoco purchased roughly 12 acres at 4130 and 4144 U.S. 301 South for $17.5 million last month, according to Wilson County deed records. The land sits southwest of downtown Wilson. The seller is Jernigan Properties, Inc., tied to Jernigan Oil Company based out of Ahoskie. The The company bought the land in December 2023 for $539,000 per deed records, and this year started building a new gas station and convenience store on the site. Jernigan Oil Company is the parent company of Duck Through Food Stores, with over 50 locations in Virginia and North Carolina. In Pitt County, a deal signals more development in Greenville. A Florida developer that has put together more than a dozen apartment projects recently acquired a large swath of land in Greenville. An LLC that shares an address with Hill Point of Winter Park, Florida, purchased 23 vacant acres off Allen Road and Highway 13 in Greenville for more than $3 million, according to Pitt County deed records. The site is southwest of downtown. Managing partner Kelly Mahoney said the group plans on many more projects in North Carolina. Its portfolio includes apartments in Florida, Georgia, and a few in South Carolina. And finally, in Durham County, Texas firm snags mobile home community. A Texas company has acquired a mobile home community north of Durham, joining a rush of out-of-state investors looking to get in on the hot market. Dutch Village, an LLC that shares an address with Three Pillar Communities, purchased the Dutch Village mobile home community off Gate 1 Road in Creedmoor for around $2.7 million in November, according to Granville County deed records. The community consists of 160 sites on roughly 68 acres. The company operates over 90 mobile home communities in 16 states, according to its website. The TBJ's executive voice section this week features an article about Dr. Christy Page. She's the CEO of UNC Health and Dean of the UNC School of Medicine. Dr. Christy Page has prepared for her new role for more than two decades. Page joined the UNC School of Medicine's faculty as a family medicine professor in 2005. Since then, Page has led the family medicine residency program, helped lead the School of Medicine as executive dean, and led the health system strategic planning. Over the past few months, Page has led UNC Health and the School of Medicine on an interim basis. She took over the roles permanently on November 24th. It's a pivotal time for healthcare and higher education. UNC Health has sweeping expansion plans across the Triangle and North Carolina, including a multi-billion-dollar children's hospital in Apex in partnership with Duke University. But both the health system and its medical school are facing challenges related to Medicaid cuts and uncertainty over federal funding for research. TBJ asks, how did you get into healthcare? When I was young, I thought I would be a missionary or a physician. And it was with a group of missionaries in college that I really saw the beauty of how people were dedicating their lives to service and felt that sense of, okay, this is the path that I should go down to try to do some good in the world. When I was in high school, my father died of melanoma, and our church community pulled together for us, and the physicians and the medical community were so supportive of us. I had been on a couple of missionary kind of trips, service trips as a child, and so all that together made me think, I want to be like these people, pouring into other families and being present and having meaning in what I do. How did you turn to administration? During residency, I was so focused on, I'm going to go work in the health department or I'm going to go work in another country as a missionary. But then I caught the teaching bug. One of my key mentors helped me see that in academic medicine, it's a different kind of service. I was residency director and then chair of family medicine. Then as executive dean, I got to oversee the School of Medicine, but also all the research, knowing that when we're going, what we're doing there is actually giving patients hope when often there is no hope. The last couple of years, I've been focused on leading our strategic plan and focusing on how we can maximize our impact and be ready for the headwinds that we have now. What was the focus for the strategic plan? We did a really deep dive into our whole organization to clarify what is special about it. We really need to lean into being an academic health system that truly is the best of the academic world and community care at the same time. What are the main challenges? This is a unique time in that we have headwinds both in the academic space around the research cuts and just challenges to higher ed in general, as well as challenges on the healthcare system, particularly with Medicaid cuts and the potential changes that could result in losing Medicaid expansion. The thing I'm strangely excited about is that it forces us to be more creative and it forces us to work together in different ways. What are your priorities? I'd say the focus is on integrating a high-quality health system, which captures a lot, but that's a huge priority. And we're right at the precipice of building a system that's kind of loosely connected into something that really works. Amplifying academics, particularly with the clinical trials, is a big priority. How is the Children's Hospital project? It is moving forward, and it's really important to me. It's the right thing to do for our state. The power of what we could do together with Duke and other partners across the state is exciting. Zach Ezone was the writer of this article. Dr. Page comes from Wilmington. She has a bachelor's in psychology, a master's in public health, and an MD degree, all from UNC Chapel Hill. UNC Health employs about 56,000 people, and its operating revenue last year was $6.6 billion. The Editor's Notebook article this week is written by Executive Editor-in-Chief of Triangle Business Journal, Rebecca Troyer, and it's how we selected the 2025 Business Persons of the Year. Each fall, the Triangle Business Journal newsroom undertakes one of our most important year-end tasks, the selection of the annual Business Person of the Year. The process involves many hours of research, followed by lengthy discussion, while sequestered in our conference room, and like a jury, a unanimous decision is always the goal. We evaluated each candidate's history of business growth and success, impact on the Triangle's economic brand, contributions to their communities, and status as a 2025 newsmaker. After reducing the list to a half a dozen or so, it was unanimous. Bubba Rawl and Tim Smith, co-founders of Preston Development Company, would be our 2025 Business Persons of the Year. Rawl and Smith have been a team since the early 1980s, launching a real estate career that has resulted in multiple prestigious developments stretching from the North Carolina coast to Cary to their latest and perhaps most ambitious undertaking, Chatham Park. In our latest Bottom Line Triangle podcast episode, Rawl quipped that he met Smith after returning from his honeymoon and has thus been married to two people, my wife and Tim, for 43 years. True to that characterization, hearing these two tell stories reminded me of those clips in the film When Harry Met Sally, which featured real couples interviewed by director Rob Reiner, sitting on a couch sharing memories. They finish each other's sentences, correct each other when a date is misremembered, and light up like kids when they talk about how big ideas came together. Smith and Rawl's success derives in large part from their patience. They know that executing a massive project like Chatham Park is far more than laying out streets, filling it with houses, and moving on to the next job. Their vision has always been to build a true community that will attract multiple generations of families, and they're in it for the long game. They constructed a more than $30 million world-class YMCA, attracted what's only the second Disney story living project in the U.S., and are planning a top-notch golf course and country club. At a TBJ panel event last summer, Rawl shared that 7.5% of Chatham Park's housing units are dedicated as affordable housing, meaning Preston Development will lose around $25 million over time. And while these two may be among the nicest guys you'll ever meet, they're also shrewd and tenacious businessmen. At Chatham Park, they pushed hard for utility agreements, fended off vociferous naysayers, navigated growth despite a pandemic, and continued to propel the project toward its 27,000-home master plan. And they've generated more than $50 million in revenue each year over the past decade. When new businesses explore expansion in the Triangle, they look at a host of economic and financial factors, but often one of the most important is the livability of our cities and towns. Rawl and Smith have devoted their lives to ensuring that everything about their projects makes people want to settle here. They aren't just developers, they are community catalysts. And Rebecca Troyer, the editor-in-chief, is reachable at rtroyer@bizjournals, that's B-I-Z, journals.com. In an economic development, VinFast's site could revert to state control. Struggling company says it's committed to North Carolina, but is far behind schedule. Ben Tobin reports, the land for a long-delayed auto factory in North Carolina will be attracting attention next year. According to an option to purchase real estate signed in November 2022 by Vietnamese electric vehicle manufacturer VinFast and the state of North Carolina, If the company doesn't create 1,750 jobs by the end of 2026 or start operations by July 2026, the state has the option to buy back all or part of the 1,765-acre site within the Triangle Innovation Point megasite in southeast Chatham County. VinFast acquired the land in 2022 for $44 million, months after announcing plans for an ambitious 7,500 job, $4 billion plant that the company said would start operation in 2024. But to date, VinFast has created few, if any, full-time jobs in the state and has pushed back its operational timeline multiple times, most recently saying the plant won't be running until 2028. Construction at the site in Moncure has been mostly quiet for 2 years following a groundbreaking in July of 2023. VinFast said in a statement, "We remain fully committed to this project." Representatives of the North Carolina Department of Commerce, the Economic Development Partnership of North Carolina, and Governor Josh Stein's office did not respond to requests for comment. Michael Smith, president of the Chatham Economic Development Corporation, said December 8th that VinFast responded to me last week that they are committed to the project and expected to break ground in 2026. A buyback would allow the state to reclaim one of its most valuable industrial megasites at a time when North Carolina's supply of large shovel-ready sites is dwindling. VinFast has faced financial and operational hurdles and continues to post steep quarterly losses in the hundreds of millions each quarter and has told investors it expects to operate in the red as it works to scale production. Here's a brief news blurb. The number one health insurer in North Carolina by volume is Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties, with its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina. Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. We've run out of time for today's episode of Triangle Business Journal. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Again, I'm Hugh Bennett, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.